Coming up.
Now this is what she's known
for. I love the way you've managed to blame... He's managed to blame the left, everybody. How did he do it?
This is Outkast UK.
There'll be no charges over a fight involving a non-binary teenager in the US who died the next day. Next, Benedict was beaten unconscious in a school bathroom in Oklahoma last month. It's claimed there'd been bullying linked to the 16-year-old's gender identity. The altercation's been labelled mutual combat by the authorities, who say it doesn't meet the standard of a prosecutable crime. Health officials recently ruled next took their own life. Lance Preston's from the Rainbow Youth Project, which has a suicide prevention line. He tells KOCO5 News local LGBTQ plus young people have been greatly affected by this.
In February, we took 1,097 calls from kids in the state of Oklahoma. That was over a 238% increase. We're already seeing crisis calls today of kids stating their lives don't matter, that the schools don't care about them.
A new law in Oklahoma means students can only use school bathrooms matching their birth gender. Owasso High School is being investigated by the US Department of Education. Attempts in Uganda to tighten the rules around surrogacy and IVF would stop queer people having access to them. The snappily titled Human-Assisted Reproductive Technology Bill has been introduced to Parliament. It would limit surrogacy and IVF to people with infertility issues. LGBTQ plus advocates in the country say it's draconian. And an anti-trans demonstration in Australia's turned ugly, much like the bigots protesting. About 100 people showed up outside Parliament House in Melbourne for a gathering by the Women's Action Network, which opposes self-ID. Clashes between them and trans rights activists saw pepper spray used by police, who made two arrests.
This is the UK's hottest LGBTQ plus podcast. Outspoken. Outrageous. Outkast UK.
Back in the studio, welcome Liam McDonald. Hello.
How are you?
I'm all right, yeah. Just stay over there. I've been an unwell man for some time.
You sound it.
Do I still sound ill?
You do.
I should have heard me last week. If Toph is ill this week, that's because he's been sealed into this room for about an hour. But yeah, I'm slowly getting better. That's good. So welcome to the show. It's good to have you back. I want to start this week on 15 years of RuPaul's Drag Race back on TV. The Vivian's been in Attitude this week saying visibility and representation are more crucial than ever for the next generation. A world without drag is unthinkable.
So I'm not a huge fan of the show. Like, I don't watch it religiously. It's got like a cult following, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But as a movement and a TV show, it's very entertaining. It's very educational. I've noticed that they always add in people's like stories,
mm-hmm.
And it's very educational. And it talks about people from different backgrounds and how families react to them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that what it has done is opened people's eyes, and those that wouldn't normally go to a drag show or have some form of opinion,
mm-hmm.
like, oh, that's a bloke in a dress.
Yeah.
They would have that kind of mentality, would watch it and actually find it funny. And they would kind of be glued to the show. So it has done really good for the gay community.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, drag is an art itself. But I'm not a massive fan. And
how many have you watched?
I haven't watched it for a very long mm-hmm. time. I watched the UK version with Bimini.
Oh, right, okay.
That's the name, Bimini, right? Very funny.
Right.
Can you imagine if I've made all these names?
I was just like, yeah.
And I watched...
that
the,
one.
Yeah, I watched the US version... with one called Valentina.
Mm-hmm.
They're the two seasons I've watched.
They're the ones you've watched. I can't remember anyone's name in it. I just know I've watched episodes because I don't watch TV. Like, some people will sit there and just like be glued to shows. It's not my thing. I'm not really like that. I barely watch any telly at the moment. But I remember watching the first series from the States and being like to all my friends, oh, this is groundbreaking. You've got to check this out. I'm all over this. And if I say that, it means I've not watched it.
Right.
But I'm passing it off as a kind of thing that I think will make me look good.
Yeah, well, you have to when it comes to RuPaul's Drag Race because every gay knows about it.
Yeah.
And watches it. So if you're like, oh, what you want about? They're like, the fuck?
Yeah, and I don't like that. I think I feel kind of discriminated against because I don't because I'm not, you know, a complete RuPaul's Drag Race fan. Like, you know the terminology, drag terminology, like saying slay, oh slay. I mean, it's not just from Drag Race, but you know, that kind of thing. Actually actively annoys me when people use that kind of terminology for me. Like, I'm gonna be like, oh yeah, yeah, oh good one, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's so annoying. Mm. And I don't understand it. I don't like it. I met one person at the bar and they were like, oh, what do you do? I'm an artist. And they're like, yes, queen, you better paint.
It's a good line though.
You better fuck paint. Off, mate. Let me have my pint in peace. Fuck off.
I love the idea of you. Was it? You're making it sound like you're in a Weatherspoons. Fuck off, mate.
Yeah.
Let me have my pint in peace. Yeah, I get annoyed by the terminology. Like, no, I mean, feel free to use the terminology. It's fine. But it's the kind of idea that all the gays are speaking like this all the time. And let me bring some information to you. They're not. And I find people that will take that kind of terminology and use it in everyday life. And I find that exclusionary to anybody who doesn't conform to the usual, you know,
yeah,
expectations of being a gay man. Oh, you're going to love these words. You're going to watch Drag Race. I agree. It's brought loads and loads. There's been loads of benefits to the LGBTQ plus community. Like, they've had people on there openly HIV positive and have talked about their HIV journey. You know, that's really interesting. People who are trans and non-binary and talking about, you know, how they've been treated and their journeys. And that's really a really interesting way to bring that and LGBTQ plus culture to a kind of mainstream show. But you know what it's like? Often the people who are the target of shows like this, once it's run for like 10 years, we're kind of annoyed by it, aren't we? It's not new anymore.
It's very one line now. But one thing I will say, drag is an art form, again, educational, and it's quite, not sexual, but it has like dark humours, it has like bitchiness. And what people don't realise is it's the BBC to showcase it.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most conservative kind of channels you can get. You'd expect ITV or whatever.
Channel 4.
Mm. But BBC, which is, I think, was a really big thing. Mm. But yeah, I'm not a big fan.
No, me neither. But 15 years they've celebrated. Well done to them.
Yeah, fantastic.
Fair play. But it's time for the next thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think it really is.
What would be the next thing?
Well, I don't know. I don't know what the next thing would be.
What would be the next... This is when you design something.
This is it, yeah. I'd be a lot richer if I designed something.
This is where we have a TV show of people that are drag queens, but they want to transform to being straight and live as a straight person.
You've just...
Complete opposite.
No, you've just come up with the concept.
Take the fucking heels off, mate.
This is it, yeah. And we have a load of sort of like Millwall West Ham supporters on the panel instead of Graham Norton. Yeah. And they say whether you've passed as you come on with...
If you're straight enough.
Yeah.
A toxic masculine show.
Yes.
Who can be the straightest of the straights? And clearly one would win.
Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, was that one? No, that wasn't. That's where they dress you up in different stuff, isn't it?
What?
Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, it was that. But this has been done as an idea, but there is no such thing as a new idea. So I feel like that concept, we should work on that. We'll pass that one off.
Yeah, we'll send an email to the BBC, look.
I feel like if there was ever a Channel 4 idea, it's that one.
Do you think?
Yeah, I do.
What a toxic masculinity one.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'd like, give it a go.
No, but...
Look at me.
I feel like there is something in that. You've got to get the most diverse range of drag queens that you could possibly have. Like the RuPaul's Drag Race lineup for, say, next year's lineup, which you'd expect to be... I expect it to be the most diverse ever. But what I want is that, and then we just add that twist on it and they've got to go out into the... Yeah.
I was going to say... The most diverse cast ever, and it's just straight white men.
Yeah. like some of the first seasons of RuPaul's Drag Race. I mean, were they even... People weren't even thinking about that back then, were they?
Yeah.
Like, I think that the diversity push in the LGBTQ plus community has come post-COVID, hasn't it? That's when we've become more aware of stuff like that, because LGBTQ plus content for the gays, it used to just be like twinks. There
right,
we go.
Right.
Here's a twink. You know, and like, I feel like that has really, really, really changed. In other drag news, do you know Paul O'Grady's been dead a year now?
Yeah, I do. Poor old, what's his name? Poor old O'Grady.
Paul O'Grady.
The poppy guy. The one that did a talk show.
The puppy guy at the talk show. Yeah, you obviously don't know his early work. He was Lily Savage.
Yeah, so I know he was a drag queen. I've not seen performances or old content.
Have you never seen it?
Never seen it.
Honestly?
No. But I know that he was a very successful talk show host.
He was. And also...
And he gave a lot to charity, didn't he?
He did. He was a nice man. He was a nice man. So I want to show you a clip of him doing Lily Savage.
Okay, yeah, bring it on.
So, because I think it was, as kind of drag goes, I know it was done by a white guy in his 40s or 50s, for it to be sort of on TV, mainstream TV, people's nans watched it and loved it. She was absolutely outrageous, Lily Savage.
So what's happening now? Am I going to get changed? Do you know, I'm fucking sick of this. I'm in and out. In and out. Looking after them tarts. The frock's off. The frock's on. The frock's off. Not a shag in the middle of it now.
So, but do you know what? One thing I mention. So what's happening? One thing I have realised through drag, it's so elevated that right there wouldn't be classed as drag or wouldn't be classed as good enough to be on a show like RuPaul's Drag Race.
Not now, no, it, no.
That there is like... You spent the first time doing your makeup.
Yeah, but she was meant to be. She was meant to be Lily Savage. He grew up on Birkenhead on Merseyside, which is just opposite Liverpool. So that voice, that really rough voice, is he's deliberately horribly brassy. She's got horrible hair. She's based on a sex worker from Birkenhead.
Okay.
So he grew up there, and he based it on all of the women that he would see plying the trade in Birkenhead because he lived there. Because first time I met him. My mum was singing at a concert in Liverpool, and he went on doing drag, and everyone thought it was outrageous. I will never forget that I met him for the first time when I was like 17. He was at some party I was at, and he said to me, "I used to have a flat in Birkenhead. It was an absolute fucking knocking shop." Like he would represent being a slag, and it would be front and center of what he was doing. That was his act. So he's basically representing some ropey prostitute that would have worked their trades in rough pubs,
like Crackhead Sally from down the road,
a bit like that. Them vibes. The she was referred to as the blonde bombsite instead of the blonde bombshell. And I mean, obviously drag is elevated, like you said. Now it's totally different. That would be simp drag, you know what I mean? That's pub drag from back in the day.
But that's some of the best drag, I guess. Pub drag,
I think so.
If you just have fun with it.
Yeah, I always thought that that's what drag was meant to be, just people having fun. I mean, I know there's people come to it now and they're bringing a whole new level of creativity and thought and depth other than, I'm going to dress up as a prostitute from Birkenhead. Well, he was, fair play to him for doing that and also, like, representing working class people from that area. And I guess kind of being a... Even if he'd, I mean, was he even out at the time on TV? I can't remember. But before Alan Carr, before Graham Norton, there was Paul O'Grady, paving the way for some outrageous sort of one step up. You've got Dame Edna at one end of it, Dame Edna in the 1980s, and then you step it up and you go into Lily Savage, and they're both outrageous, but they're not as drag goes these days.
Right.
There's not a lot of prosthetics involved, is there, in that kind
it's
of thing?
It's just a wig and drawn on eyebrows.
Yeah, literally. Yeah, and in the 80s and 90s.
Your feet are too small for the heels.
Well, his daughter, he had a daughter before he stepped into that when he was 19.
Wow.
It was the expectation of kind of guys of that age in that area, you've got to have a kid. So he had a daughter and she watched him sort of, that was what her daddy did when she was a kid. He was a drag queen.
How's she doing now?
She's all right, apparently.
Okay, good.
She's good. As I got older, apparently, she says, I went to see Lily. She wasn't allowed to see him as a kid because it was quite rude. As I got older, I went to see Lily. It was a lot to take in because he was my dad at the end of the day. So he's got 6-inch heels on with a massive blonde wig. And it sounds like she had quite a good relationship with her dad.
Oh, that's good.
That's nice. But yeah, that was before he was big on TV because he used to do work in men's clubs.
Imagine if she was like real far right wing. It's like, my dad used to wear heels. This is not how men need to be.
Well, thankfully not. Thankfully that's not what's happened. But yeah, 1 year ago, is it this week, this month, Paul O'Grady? It's coming up to that anyway. God rest his soul. J.K. Rowling, she's back on the scene. The SNP have got a hate crime law, just before we get into it. They've got a hate crime law and she said that she'd happily do 2 years in jail instead of using a trans person's pronouns. She's because the idea being that if you deliberately misgender a trans person, then that is technically a hate crime. And technically, I mean, if realistically, I can't imagine anyone's going to go to prison for 2 years for using the wrong pronouns. But she was like happy to go to prison.
So there's different conversations here. Mm-hmm. One, is it a hate crime? And two, why on earth would you even want to put out into the world that you would rather go to prison mm-hmm. than pin out someone's preferred pronouns? Mm-hmm. I've never understood people that say they wouldn't say the correct pronouns. There's parts of that, there's still scenarios I don't understand, that I don't get.
Such as?
Well, you know, when someone says that they don't align with a specific gender, uh-huh. I've never felt that. I don't know that. So it's
you can't
a new
understand
world.
That. Yeah,
it's
yeah.
not that I can't understand it, but I've not lived it. Therefore, I think there's this conversation about pronouns. Now, I would never go out of my way to misgender someone mm-hmm. or say not their preferred pronouns. So for J.K. Rowling to come forward and to say that, I just think it's disgusting. Mm-hmm. But before we jump into J.K. Rowling, we have to get out of the way a few things that I know upsets people. It's got to be said, because if it's not said, it will be said by the other side.
What?
She's a fantastic writer. She's very talented. And she's made a fantastic career from what she's done. Mm-hmm. However, the way she's gone about certain things is wrong. It's disgusting, and it's always been a PR stunt. Mm-hmm. This hasn't just come out of nowhere. This is what she is now known for, and that was never meant to be the case until she started making money for it and until the left started talking about it. Mm-hmm. Now this is what she's known
for. I love the way you've managed to blame... He's managed to blame the left, everybody. How did he do it? He did. You're saying that she would be nothing if it wasn't... Not nothing, but... It wouldn't be as successful what she's doing in terms of being a bit bigoted towards trans people if we didn't give her the oxygen of reacting to it.
Absolutely. Let's take Katie Hopkins.
Yeah.
Very
divisive.
Yeah. Went for a large period where she was trending on Twitter. She was headlines of newspapers. She was trending on Facebook. Every social media platform.
She was on LBC. She had her own show.
People were talking about her. And when people talk... regardless of if it's in a good way or a bad way, the person they're talking about becomes something. Mm-hmm. If J.K. Rowling had announced her book that she wrote a couple of years ago about the serial killer trans...
There was a character in a J.K. Rowling book. I've not read the book, by the way, so I'm passing what has been told to me off. So just don't expect any great details about the plot or anything. So she was writing a lot of anti-trans stuff on social media. And it turns out that she had a book coming out, and in that book, one of the characters was a trans serial killer, which falls into all kinds of trans people are scary tropes. But also, she's handily kind of stirred the pot in the run-up to that, and people are kind of expecting it. And I think that is fucking disgusting.
Disgusting, no. wrong, no. and vile. Let's talk about PR. She wrote this book. She said, how am I going to sell this book? How am I going to make money from this book? Let me tweet about it. When you tweet about something and you get a reaction from someone, all you're doing is getting their book paid for. Mm-hmm. Money's falling straight into her pocket. Even though, yeah, she's a billionaire, she's whatever. The left, or those that align with left-wing policies and think certain things like this is really bad, started talking negatively about this book, right? And her tweets, rightly so. However, what people don't realise is you're throwing petrol on a fire, and when you throw petrol on a fire, the fire gets bigger. Mm-hmm. That's all you're doing. Mm. And it's the same with any controversial figure. You talk about them in any shape or form, they get bigger and bigger and bigger. So the left always creates the monster.
How are you saying the left? You mean like sort of identity-based, people who are upset for identity-based
reasons?
Well, no
right-wing, I think the left is... no right-wing person is saying J.K. Rowling, what she's doing is wrong.
No, they're not.
and that's every left wing person is saying.
Well, not every left wing person, because on the left, I think it's just vastly more complex using them labels than people kind of realise. I mean, you've got like we're splitting everyone into just two binary groups there, left or right, one or zero. And I just think that leftism kind of. There's a certain area of leftism where it's very identity based, but also like not very long ago that was class based and based on whether you were working class or sure. all of that kind of stuff. Okay. So you given the a version of leftism that you're talking about, yeah.
Okay,
so
it's
a bit of a bugbear for me when people say, "Oh, the left have done this."
And that's fine. Yeah. I get it.
I get the point you're making, but
however, I just don't understand why people share headlines about her and talk about going back to Kate Hopkins, people stopped talking about Katie Hopkins, she went straight off the earth.
Well, she was taken off Twitter, wasn't she? And she sort of lost all her traction.
Yeah, because no one's talking about it.
Yeah.
So I do think that we throw petrol on a fire and the fire gets bigger.
Yeah.
It was a PR stunt. I personally don't think J.K. Rowling saw herself in the future of being this kind of anti-trans person. It just happened because it was making her a lot of money, getting her back in the headlines, making her another figure. You've got a woman that's very known for Harry Potter that's now known for being anti-trans.
Isn't that mad?
But if no one spoke about it,
she wouldn't be.
And I get it, you've got to raise awareness. I don't like it when I see people share things on social media that someone said that's transphobic. Mm-hmm. I don't like mm-hmm. it. I don't want to see it. It makes mm-hmm. me feel uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I think it's wrong. I think it's vile. And I think we shouldn't give these people any publicity. I don't know why we keep making these people bigger, because we think what we're doing is cancel culture. If there's one thing we've learned in across America and the UK, cancel culture is what makes people really, really famous around the world. Mm-hmm.
Well, they're not cancelled, are they? Being cancelled is essentially just the removal of some commercial opportunities. Are you
being cancelled? But even that gets some popularity.
It gives you different commercial opportunities, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean,
some are more. There's some commercial, notoriety in some ways is good. You know, the removal of some commercial opportunities. Look at GB News, right? GB News isn't making hardly any money. And not a lot of people are watching it, but the audience it does have, it should be able to monetize better than it does. But it's not able to monetize that very well because a lot of advertisers don't want to be associated with that stuff, because for the biggest companies in the world, all of them, doesn't matter what they do, DEI is super important to a lot of these people. Because they're corporations, they're companies. It is. So it doesn't matter. You know, if you're GB News or whatever, or you're J.K. Rowling, your opportunities, you might be reaching a lot of people, but the kind of clients you're going to be taking on board, they're not going to be the ones that you want.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
GB News isn't going to be running loads of British Airways adverts and Visa and MasterCard adverts. It's going to be running those adverts for, coins that they sell to old people on daytime television. That's kind of all they're going to be getting, isn't it?
Yes and no. But one thing I want to say, and I think I've said this to you before, I don't know if it's been on your show or just to you personally, I'm someone that's very political. I love politics. It's a hobby. It's an obsession. It's something that I kind of bleed. I'm somebody that can sit for hours at the Labour conference, mm-hmm. at the Conservative conference, at the UKIP conference, at the Reform UK. I could easily sit through it because I just enjoy politics.
Yeah, I get that, yeah.
However, the one thing I can't sit through is a trans debate.
Right.
It makes me feel very uneasy.
Why?
It's never been a debate. It's just been hate. Yeah. It's actually never been a structured debate. It's always been hate. And it's easy hate. It's like slogans, half sentences. You know, there's no, you know, it's like men are men and women are women.
Nothing.
There's no, and it's always been like that. And I've never liked it because it is bullying.
Mm.
And this is coming from me, and all my friends know I could go to any debate and sit there and happily listen. But the trans debate is just horrific. And I just don't understand why people think it's okay to go out of your way to make someone feel uncomfortable mm-hmm. just because you don't agree with something.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if someone said to me, I want my pronouns to be something that's very peculiar, or, you know, do you get people that say they want to be called frog this, frog that, or whatever. Mm-hmm. It happens. I don't understand it. I don't get it, but I'm a call you the pronouns you want me to call you.
Yeah.
Because I know...
I'll call you what you want to be called.
Absolutely.
It's like me calling you, walking in and going, all right, cunt. You're like, well, I don't want to be called that. Ah, that's what I call you. That's your name. You're like, well, that's rude.
I think if... Why on earth would you go out of your way to make another human being feel uncomfortable just because you don't agree with something?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't make sense to me. But then again, I also think you're more than welcome not to agree to it.
Yeah.
You don't have to agree with it. You don't. But what you do have to do is respect people.
News last week, people under the age of 18 are not going to be prescribed puberty blockers by the NHS. And I come to the conclusion in my mind that taking away puberty blockers from under 18s is child abuse. Because those people, if they're going to be forced to go through the changes, think of trans women, for example, who are forced through... Puberty then puts loads of testosterone through their system, and then they can never undo the effects of the testosterone on, say, their face or the certain aspects of changes in the body. And all puberty blockers do is just put a pause on that process that can then happen again. But the way the debate is being shifted is that putting young people who often are self-harming because they're suffering from such heavy gender dysphoria, that putting them on puberty blockers, that's child abuse. But I would argue that it is the other way round. And I think that is where the debate really settles on these really tricky things like puberty blockers and, you know, trans women in particular in sports as well. It settles on these things that they know people are kind of, opinion is shifting and it's quite complex.
So for me, I actually don't know much about this or the medication or what it does. I know what I read in the media isn't everything. I'm fully aware of that. But I'm just... I just don't understand it. I don't understand. I wouldn't even give a child paracetamol.
Right.
But I don't know. I don't have any information on it. Again, it's an ugly debate. In fact, nobody has information on it, and that's why it's an ugly debate.
Mm-hmm.
We're told sentences. Kids have a medication for puberty. Of course that's going to stop puberty. Of course that's going to cause an outrage without people realising what it actually does.
Mm-hmm. Or without realising what the kids are doing in order to be prescribed. That is
right.
Often like self-harming quite appallingly because...
We don't see that because we're not told it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in no situation where I can actually have a strong opinion on it. I know what I'm told by the media. I don't like it. But I'm not dumb. I know there's a whole world behind it. But this is one of the issues. A lot of trans people don't want to talk about issues because they feel like they don't have to explain themselves, and they don't want to... No one's going to learn. And for you to think people are going to go out and learn for themselves, it's just what will never happen. You've got to stand up. You've got to fight for your rights. And you've got to come on and speak. Even if you do get a lot of hate, someone has to be that person, because we need to be educated. But to think that we're just going to go out of our way to be educated, no one does that.
Mm-hmm.
Play Outcast UK on TikTok and Instagram. Just search Play Outcast UK.